latest news, brought to you by Pace, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Erin Archum. Thousands of chanting demonstrators have gathered outside the US Capitol as protests against police brutality swelled in major cities on Tuesday. Evening curfews were ordered in dozens of cities following a week of demonstrations over the death of 46-year-old George Floyd in Minneapolis police custody. Largely peaceful during the day, the crowds have erupted into violence and looting after dark. President Donald Trump has threatened to send the military and National Guard to patrol New York's city streets and to put an end to fires, looting and property destruction. The New South Wales Police Commissioner has apologised to the Indigenous teenager who was violently arrested on Monday after he had threatened police. The video footage, which went viral on social media, showed the 17-year-old having his legs kicked out from under him by an officer and landing face first on the curb. The officer is now on restricted duties and a review into his conduct is being carried out. Speaking on Nine Radio this morning, Commissioner Mick Fuller says officers are trained to use leg sweeps, but the footage was concerning.
The fact that this officer doesn't have a checkered history and he's been in for 3.5 years, if it certainly is complaints sustained against him, you would have to say he's had a bad day. And I'm sure most of the community wouldn't want to see someone who's made a mistake sacked after making such a commitment to the community.
The Federal Agriculture Department has refused to allow more than 50,000 sheep to be transported to the Middle East. The animals were due to leave Western Australia more than a week ago, but the trip was delayed after crew members of the LQH tested positive to coronavirus. Animal exports to the Middle East are banned between June and mid-September to prevent deaths caused by heat stress in the Northern Hemisphere. The shipment is estimated to be worth up to $12 million and costing the exporter tens of thousands of dollars every day. The Royal Commission into Natural Disasters is set to examine the role of the Australian Defence Force during last summer's bushfire emergency. There's been criticism with how long it took to deploy the ADF, but the government maintains troops had been on the ground since early September. Senior Defence Force officials are giving evidence this morning at the inquiry. Researchers say extremists could be using uncertainty and confusion over the coronavirus pandemic to spread their message and to cause public unrest. Charles Sturt University in New South Wales has been granted funding for a study into how extremists are exploiting the COVID-19 pandemic. The project will help to inform communities and alert counter-terrorism agencies. Lead researcher and lecturer in terrorism studies at CSU, Dr. Christy Campion, says extremists are adept at sowing division.
What we do see with certain types of extremists, particularly with the extreme right, is if there is a divisive issue in society, they will galvanise on it and they will use it to try and broaden their reach.
In sport, Netball New South Wales has criticised the government for moving too slow to open up community sport. The sport's bosses sent an open letter to the New South Wales Premier last Friday saying local clubs would struggle to stay alive without a path back to competition. It said it was unfathomable that shopping centres allow hundreds of people to wander through and that pubs were also reopening, but adults cannot participate in community sport.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker.
It's currently 17 degrees on a lovely winter's day. We're looking towards a top of 19 today. Sunny, winds southwesterly, 25 to 35 kilometres an hour, reaching a bit stronger, 35 to 50 kilometres an hour, near the coast in the afternoon and early evening. The sun will set at 5 minutes to 5 this evening. Looking for the rest of the week, Thursday mostly sunny, 7 to 17. Friday, chilly overnight, 3 degrees, top of 18, sunny again. Saturday, sunny, 5 to 18. And Sunday, possible shower, 5 to 17. So some cool nights coming up, Mario, indeed.
Well, you ain't killed my mojo by saying it's nice and warm while I'm wrapping myself around, everything. But the thing is, it's so funny, Australia, after 21 years in this country, even every time winter comes, the funniest thing it is, after 9 a.m. become warm, you know, regardless of everything, if it's rain or something. But, you know, till 9 a.m. it's foggy, it's...
it is. Just a quick look at the traffic before we get back into it.
The updated traffic, brought to you by Fernwood Gym of Seven Hills and North Rocks on Alive 90.5.
Orchard Hills, the Northern Road near Wentworth Road. Crash of multiple vehicles. All directions are affected with traffic there. San Remo, that's up north. Pacific Highway, Gorama Avenue, Bokara Avenue. Traffic lights are flashing yellow and the Sackville Ferry is out for its usual maintenance. If you're around the area, you know it well. But so let's get back into the show. And a glorious day and glorious time in the studio here. Nice and warm. We've got Wayne Wanders talking to us.
Yeah, but it's a humpy day. Thank you for explaining
happy
to me.
Happy hump day as well.
I just ask for the all listeners. Thank you for our 2.2 million listeners on Live 90.5. The greatest, the best, the most beautiful station in the world, Live 90.5. And our guest in studio, Wayne Wanders, share with us insights and tips how to have you have to start a business, how to run the business successfully from beginning. And not only to know this, it's how to know, read the numbers. But you said something interesting on a break time, you know what I mean? I'm going to steal this way, you know what I mean? I know you spoke with Darren, but you say something very interesting. Cash is the king. No, sorry, I lie. Starts with this. Turnover is a vanity. Profit is sanity. And cash is the king. So why turnover is a vanity? What would you define this? This is your words, I can see. And a profit is sanity, and a cash is a king.
The simplest way to think about this is why spend $100 to get a customer that gives you $10? So if you're just focused on growing your revenue and not considering what it does for your bottom line, you can double your... I've seen businesses double their revenue and halve their profit. I've seen businesses double their revenue...
I don't understand. What do you mean profit? Sorry, say again.
So what it means is I've seen businesses that grow their revenue. So let's say they had $1 million of revenue and $100,000 of profit last year. They can grow their revenue to $2 million, but their $100,000 profit goes to $50,000 profit. They've actually added $1 million to the top line, but added $1,050,000 to their costs, so they've actually gone backwards. That business would have been better off not growing at all. They would have had $50,000 more in their pocket by not growing. That's what I mean by turnover is vanity. Just because you want to go from $1 million to $2 million, if you don't do it properly, you can actually hit your profit and hit your cash flow.
And that's the fact as well that ATO's very happy have a $2 million turnover, right?
Well, the $2 million turnover, they get the best from it, but at the end of the day you're paying income tax on the profit. You want to make money, and if your profit's going backwards, at the end of the day, who cares about what the ATO wants? It's your business, it's your profit, it's your bottom line.
Because you say something interesting to Darren, that's what leading to my next question. You say that leads you to growing broke.
Correct.
How can you explain this? How you can grow broke? You know, I mean, that's what I understand.
Well, the easiest way to think about it, as I said, using that example there where someone went from $1 million revenue to $2 million revenue, they went from $100,000 profit to $50,000 profit. Next year they go from $2 million to $3 million revenue and they've now gone and got no profit. So after 2 years they've gone from $1 million in revenue to $3 million in revenue, but they're now broke because they're not making any money. So they grew their business not to pay themselves, but to pay their suppliers and their staff and not them.
I have a question, one more question. Please, one more question, Danny. Sorry, one more question. So let's go debunk this myth now. When somebody says I'm a millionaire, you know, on a paper, we're laughing. If somebody says I'm a millionaire, on a paper turnover is $1 million, right? But doesn't make you a millionaire.
No.
Okay, so you're saying rather run the business who has a turnover of $500,000 just for the sake of conversation and has a profit of, let's just say, $300,000 is more better than to call yourself the millionaire and having $100,000 profit.
Correct. Like you can have businesses that have got $100 million in turnover but have got a margin of, say, 5%. So they make $5 million. And you have other businesses out there that have $20 million in turnover, have a margin of 50%, so they actually make $10 million profit on $20 million of turnover versus another business over here who makes $5 million profit on $100 million of turnover. So the $10 million of profit is better than $5 million worth of profit. That's why revenue is vanity. It's about what you can put to the bottom line.
So, Wayne, you're saying that it's possible you can grow broke.
Correct.
Say
I've seen it time and time again.
Say I'm a company, the podcast company. We're going great. We're getting great revenue. We've got a bit of sponsorship, but we are growing broke. How do you, as Wayne Wanders, turn us around?
Okay. So the simple thing I start with, and I've got a concept I've developed, what I call the buckets concept. You start putting your costs into different buckets. You have a bucket for all the costs you spend to get a customer, whether it's marketing, whether it's the cost of your salespeople to go out and win business, all those things. You have another bucket for your direct cost of sales. So say you're selling product, you've got the cost of the product you're delivering. You've got a warehouse, so you've got to pay people in the warehouse staff. I have another bucket for what I call the retention costs, the cost to keep the customer. For example, the cost of customer care or customer service team. And I have another bucket for overheads. Now, what a lot of businesses do is, for example, they'll have one expense line in their P&L called wages and salaries. But they'll have someone out there who's doing sales, so that's a cost of acquisition. They'll have someone in the warehouse, which is a cost of sales. They'll have someone on customer service, and they'll have someone in head office. So one expense line has costs from four different things. So they're not actually understanding what their costs are from.
Isn't that called micromanagement?
It's not micromanagement. It's just talking about just putting it in buckets. And you go, okay, I add up everything that's in the bucket of cost of acquisition. So you now work out how much it costs you to acquire. So if you spend $1,000 to acquire 10 customers, it costs you $100 to get a customer. So the only way you can grow profitably and not grow broke is if that customer is worth more to you than $100. If that customer is only worth $90 to you, every time you spend $100 to get a customer, you're losing $10. So once you understand how much it costs you to get a customer, we then work out what I call the lifetime value of that customer. How much money you get from them, less the cost of sales, less the retention costs. You work out that number, and basically it's simple math if someone sets up their ledgers properly. If the cost of getting your customer is less than their lifetime value, you're growing profitably. If the cost of getting a customer is more than their lifetime value, you're growing broke. It's really, really simple, but people don't... Accountants like to have this smoke and mirror and don't tell people the reality of it. Accounting is not hard. It comes down to, in my books, about six or seven things, and we just talked about four of them then. Really simple maths. Are you growing profitably, i.e. your customers are worth more than you're getting paying to acquire them? Are you going broke? Your customers are worth less than what you're costing to acquire them. If you understand that metric and that maths, you can determine how to run your business.
So you said something very interesting. I'm sorry, Danny, if I cut you off. Mm-hmm. You said something interesting in the first hour, and that is that we can measure, quantify, or cost of getting client. How do you quantify or justify through numbers getting somebody on board? I mean, I pick up the phone and say, hi, Mr. Darren Capes Davis. My name is Mario from Insight Intelligence, and I like to do such and such a thing. Is that a cost?
Well, sometimes you may have someone who does multiple things. So you may have to say, okay, then, this person does some selling, and this person does some customer care, this person does some overhead. So you may have to split their costs. So sometimes it gets a bit arbitrary. But the reality of this is that no one's going to get this perfect, and 80% right is better than 100% wrong. So you make some guesses and say, okay, Mario, you spend 10% of your time trying to get new business.
Oh, okay.
You spend 80% of your time delivering on existing business, and you spend 10% of your time on overhead. So I'm going to split your costs into three different buckets based on those percentages.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make it too complicated. Don't make it too hard. And you say, okay, and you can do it for all of your team and say, okay, what are we doing roughly split? And you can get better, you know, with some of these time tracking things later on. But the first part of the point, just do that and then go, okay, then, how much do I spend? And you know how many clients you get, so you can go, okay, then, if I spent through my bucket to acquire a customer $10,000 and I got one customer this month, that cost me $10,000 to get that customer. that customer better be worth more than $10,000 or I just got an unprofitable customer.
I still believe that and now we're going to do very successful podcast with the minimum money. Just based on your tips. Thank you, Wayne Wonders. We'll take a short break. You're listening live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren, and our guest Wayne is going to continue sharing his survival business survival guide in the next couple of minutes.
Love is in the air, everywhere I look around. Love is in the air, every sight and every sound. And I don't know if I'm being foolish, don't know if I'm being wise, but it's something that I must believe in. And it's there when I look in your eyes. Love is in the air, in the whisper of the tree. Love is in the air, in the thunder of the sea. And I don't know if I'm just dreaming, don't know if I feel safe, but it's something that I must believe in. And it's there when you call out my name. Love is in the air, in the rising of the sun. Love is in the air, when the day is nearly done. And I don't know if you're illusion, don't know if I see it true, but you're something that I must believe in. And you're there when I reach out for you. Love is in the air, everywhere I look around. Love is in the air, every sight and every sound.
Here's Dr. Jack from Beyond Infinity Dental.
After a chat with me, a man who hadn't been to the dentist in ages finally has the courage to come and see me. We kept a couple of his top teeth, replaced broken fillings on his lower teeth, and gave him a more comfortable teeth. He was a new man. He said it was a pleasure to go to the dentist and it's the best thing that's happened to him.
Would you like the best in dental care? Call Dr. Jack on 9838 9111 or pop in at Shop 20A Winston Hill Shop Centre, 180 Caroline Chisholm Drive, Winston Hills, 2153. Or go online, infinitydentalcare.com.au. Station sponsor.
Hi, Alan Barnes here from Durlpool Shop. I opened our shop intending to always listen, really listen, to our customers so we could fully understand and meet their pool needs. Along with that, we stocked the top brands of pool chemicals, cleaners, pumps, filters, heaters, fittings, spare parts, you name it. You'll find full details on our website website at duralpoolshop.com.au, or better still, drop in and see me and the gang at Shop 2, 270 Newline Road, Dural. We'll help you to get your pool just the way you want it.
Dural Pool Shop, station sponsor.
This is your sound.
Your community.
Alive 90.5.
It's 20 minutes past 11, 17 degrees. You're on a live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. We're speaking with Wayne Wanders. And earlier on, we're talking about how you can grow broke. And Wayne is describing how bucketing things together and knowing the cost of your customer and things like that can really give you good insights. Now, I asked you, Wayne, a question. Mario and I, we have our podcast. And we think we can gain customers with very little. Go out there, social media marketing, spend $5 on this big Facebook campaign, and we can gain our customers. We can retain
our
customers.
That's our budget, $5, yeah.
Yeah, $5 is our budget for $1 million revenue. But I know, what do you think about that? What do you think about that sort of landscape where someone who's new, a startup, may not know all about how to do marketing and thinks that there's a magic panacea or a silver bullet out there that can make their customer cost.
And they have a sizable budget like that in $5. Yeah.
$5. That's all we got.
it's not a magic bullet, but you think about it this a different way. We just return the equation I talked about around. If you say or think that you're going to get a customer that's worth to you over the lifetime of that customer worth $10, if you spend more than $10 to get that customer, it's not worth getting. So what you can do is if you're sitting there going, how do I frame my marketing budget? How do I work out how much I'm prepared to pay for a click on social media? How much am I prepared to pay for the likes or whatever through the process? So if you say, okay, then it's going to cost me, the customer's going to be worth $100 over the lifetime of that customer. I can spend up to $100 to get a customer. If I know that if I do a social media post, and for every 10 clicks I get, I convert one of them to a customer. If I pay more than $10 a click, I'm losing money. Mm. So it basically helps you, that same formula, you turn it around and it says, okay, how much am I prepared to pay? And if I can't get my clicks for under $10 a click, then why am I doing that marketing?
So another way, you need to know the shape and the velocity of the silver bullet and it will work for you.
Yeah, and that's a problem a lot of marketing people seem to forget, and that's why they, when they go up to the boardroom and try and present their business case to the board, that the CFO knocks it back because they're not putting it in the context of, I'm going to spend $100,000 here, tell me what you're going to get back from it. How do I measure whether that campaign is successful or not?
So the marketer also needs to know and talk to the salesperson and the customer service manager and also the warehouse manager to know the cost of keeping a customer and retaining it, so they can do their job and make sure that the cost of gaining a customer is not more than the cost of keeping it. Would that be right?
No, because a good CFO like I would be sitting down and go, okay, I've already got the approximate metrics for all those numbers. So we can now go, okay, then if you're going to do that campaign, we know how much, okay, so how much do you think that the customer's going to be worth? We know how much it costs to retain them. We know how much the direct cost of sales are. We can work backwards and say, okay, then this is the maximum you can pay to get that. And if you're starting your marketing campaign and you start to say, okay, then I've got a maximum of $10 a click and I'm starting to spend $12 a click, you go, hang on a sec, something's wrong. It's not meeting my metric. Do I need to change my marketing program? Do I need to change my ad? Do I need to change something to reduce my cost back to $10? So it's not necessarily a stop and go decision, but it says, hang on a sec, it's not reaching a metric. Now I review it and make a business decision. You have something solid to make your business decision on rather than just flying blind going, is it working or not working? Which is what most businesses do. They go, oh, we're getting all of these customers. It's really great. Well, hang on a sec. It's costing me $12 to get a $10 customer. I can't. It's not making sense. What finance should do for business owners is to give them the metrics they can work out whether they're successful or not. And if they're not successful, how do they make turn an unsuccessful action to a successful action? And if they are successful, how do they do that and become more successful?
I was continuously believing that it's reducing the cost, you know, I mean, in the sense of staff, salaries, you know, super. It is a little, you know, sort of pathway to gain the money, to earn more money, profit. or maybe cheating ATO. I'm hoping nobody from ATO doesn't listening. But the thing is, there is the formula there for the every business.
But it's not just reducing costs. I talk about the lifetime value of the customer. So there's two ways to increase the lifetime value of the customer. Get them to spend more with you, or three ways. Get them to spend more with you, get them to stay with you longer, or your costs to serve them are reduced. So you've
got... First one, you say spend more.
Yeah.
They spend more with you.
So let's say they're on a... Let's use a telephone plan. They're on a $10 a month telephone plan with you. So try and upgrade them to a $15 a month telephone plan. So they're spending more money with you.
And then you say stay longer.
So, for example, a customer stays with one mobile phone provider for, let's say, 15 months.
Yeah.
If you can do something to make them stay for you, not 15 months, but 2 years, so you've got an extra 9 months of business, you've actually got more value from that customer.
Interesting. A third one?
And the third one is reduce the cost for the product or how you serve them. So... one of the key things, and particularly right now in this time, businesses need to think not just about cutting costs. Businesses need to think about how to better serve their customers so that they stay with them and spend more money with them when they come through this process. It's not, you don't want to cut costs right now in this market willy-nilly. You need to be focused. There's no point hurting your most profitable customers because they may not be there when it comes to grow. So it's all
interesting thinking.
It's a balancing act out there that businesses have got to think about. It's not just about cutting costs. It's about cutting costs appropriately. If you're spending money that's not adding value to the customer, why the hell are you spending that money? And what you can do is you can take money you're spending on something that is not adding value to the customer, cut that out and use that money to add better value to your customers so that they either pay you more, stay longer, or stay your customers. So it's about thinking about how you're spending it. It's thinking about your processes and systems. Let's do your processes and systems better. Right now's a great time to look at your processes and systems, particularly if you've got people on JobKeeper. Focus some money on JobKeeper to go through all of your systems, all of your processes, fix up all the things that are wrong, so when you come out of this, you're cleaner, you're doing things more
stronger.
Because the reality is, if you're not, your competitor will be. And they're going to come out of this and they're going to grow and you're going to lag it behind.
Interesting thing it is, I met a lot of private CFOs. No question asked. I've been approached by many of them. And in hindsight, I never heard the way you explain these things. First with the passion, with the energy, understanding and compassion for the client of yours. So whoever engaged you is going to get not just a premium product, but you're going to take a care about them. Now, what is the difference between you? You've been CFO for two large companies who are the ASX listed in the past. Mm-hmm. That's what your bio says. How do clients or small businesses or medium businesses or even large businesses see the difference between somebody like yourself profile and somebody call themselves private CFO? Better you say than me to say, because a lot of people's gonna have the problem this morning.
The biggest difference I think between me and a lot of people out there is that. let me give you a story about how I got into doing this virtual CFO stuff. About 20 years ago, I was working for an American company. I had a boss in Australia, I had a boss in Hong Kong, I had a boss in London, and I had a boss in the US.
How many bosses did you have?
Too bloody many. Right? I could not do anything. You couldn't change anything because the boss in Sydney might like it, but the boss in Hong Kong didn't like it. And I got totally sick of not being able to do anything. So I said then, I'm only going to work with people who can actually make decisions. And in Australia, that is the owners of small and medium business. When I'm sitting with a small and medium business, I'm sitting with the business owners. We can sit down and have a discussion about something and we can agree to disagree or we can agree and make the change. But it's someone who can make the actual decision and we can move forward. So I spent the last 20 years working with business owners who can make decisions, and I've seen businesses succeed. I've seen businesses fail. I've tried to save businesses that I haven't been able to save. I've seen what people have gone through, and I've seen at the same time the way accountants approach business. Now, most accountants out there, what I call in private practice, they've spent their life, most of them have spent their life doing tax returns. I've spent my life working with businesses trying to get them to be profitable. I don't do tax. I know enough about tax to be dangerous, but I'm sitting there going, okay, how does their business work? What makes their business tick? How do you make it go through that process? So I spent 20 years doing that stuff. I used to call myself a virtual CFO. Like 20 years ago, virtual CFO was unheard of, very rare out in the marketplace. 3 or 4 years ago,
everything's virtual.
Everything's getting virtual. And I said to myself, something's wrong here. It was actually destroying my brand. So I actually went and had a thought about it, and I'll go, okay then, virtual means fake, not real. So I actually changed my brand to a real CFO. That's why I have the brand A Real CFO, because basically I'm saying this people who call themselves virtual CFOs are basically what I call fake CFOs. I'm a real CFO. I've been done it for 20 years. All the difference is that I'm not a full-time employee. I work a day a week, a day a month, or whatever it is. And basically people can, you know, I got clients to get access to my 20 years of skills, and they're paying a pittance of my full-time worth.
Well, thank you for the offering to Align 90.5, your services with Darren. And the point we're trying to make, when Darren and I interview guests here, you know, our guests, and I would say most, some they're not, you know, it's energy, it's a passion, and it's a passion. It's a very, 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 very important when you run the business. Not because your business, your virtual, you say it's a fake, but you say real CFO. Yeah. And that's the make distinguish difference between success and a fail. When you say the virtual is fake, I say like, that's what it is. But I heard that Darren something other day, you know, again, in the billions, right? Anyway, guy says, he talks to his employees, I want my company be unsellable, unbeatable, untouchable, and too big with, you know what I mean, F letter words, you know what I mean? Unsellable, unbeatable, unbreakable, something like this. And I was like, wow, like, you know, that's a huge statement. Anyway, take a short break. You're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Marion Darren. And now guess what is going to continue talking to us in the next half an hour.
Cavalry choirs. know that paying for a funeral can be a financial burden. However, have you ever thought of paying off a prepaid funeral? With none of the ongoing premiums that is associated with funeral insurance, $1,000 can get you started. Hills Family Funerals, a family-owned and operated business of 35 years, can make it easier for you. Call 02 9659 0900. Ask for Richard Spiteri or speak to one of the friendly staff members to learn how. Get assistance today. Call Hills Family Funerals, station sponsor.
The Hills area has one of the most beautiful cemeteries in the Sydney region. Castlebrook Memorial Park at Rouse Hill provides the perfect resting place for your loved ones with manicured lawns and beautifully tended gardens. They cater for people from all backgrounds and you can talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
This is your local radio station, Alive 90.5, keeping you up to date with local issues and events in the hills, Parramatta and Cumberland areas.
It's 23 minutes to 12 on Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario. Take it away.
Thank you, Darren, very much. And we're coming to the last 20 minutes of our show. And our guest in studio, Wayne Wonders, which I have no clue how to spell or his name or surname. But when we spoke, I was like, when I say your name, Wayne Wonders, you know, don't obviously create, you create a magic, but magic it is that every business needs a real CFO. Not every business can afford full-time CFO, but you're a real CFO because, you know, your previous experience in corporate world and in the business world. But now we spoke about finances, we spoke about growth, but there is a very, very important thing, you know, I'll say from my experience. I truly believe, me, Mario Beckes, running business, first 7 years, I am the most smartest man in the room, and I, whatever I say, was the right thing, which wasn't. What would you suggest me? And then I, of course, I hit the floor. What would you do if you come my business and, you know, I tell everybody I'm the smartest guy, my decisions are best, but actually my decisions are not greatest?
Well, I see this time and time again in businesses is the fact that they have a lot of staff that aren't brave enough to tell the owner or the business manager that
they're
right.
What do you mean brave enough? This is not USA. This is not the riots here. What are you trying to
say? Yeah, but like people, I see a lot of yes people in staff. The boss comes up with an idea, yes boss, and they're going to themselves, that's a hopeless idea, that's never going to work. But they never say anything. And the small or medium business owner has no one that's an independent sounding board that they can bounce ideas off. You know, they need someone that they can go and say, okay, what's this idea? This is my idea. Is it going to make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And they need someone that can say, what the hell are you thinking of? That's total rubbish, or that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I offer through the process is just being that sounding board. And sometimes it's really weird. I'd probably say 75% of the time, just them voicing their thoughts aloud, they go, oh, shit, that was dumb, wasn't it?
Question for you. Why did Darren and I, with our startup podcast business, will hire you to you tell us our ideas are not good there? What would we pay you?
I'll give you the example of that, live streaming business I was talking about before. They brought me on board to do the business case.
Yeah.
And I did the first cut of the business case, and I said to them, your business is not going to make money. Why are you doing this?
And
they went, oh, a few expletives and a few expressions.
Yeah.
And then they went, okay, then, let's go back and rethink it. Because it, from their point of view, they could have gone ahead and cost themselves millions of dollars.
Oh, okay.
Right? So they save themselves losing money. And then they can go back and then they rework it and they get a different model. And now obviously something like COVID happens and it shuts it down again. But the benefit of it is if you can go through an idea and if it sounded out and it doesn't make sense, you don't want to waste the time, money and energy to do something that's going to make money for you. Because let's face it, at the end of the day, being a business owner is a stressful experience. Yeah, you know, a lot of business owners feel isolated out there, no one to talk to, no one to bounce ideas from. They can't necessarily go home to their partner and talk about it because they may not understand it. You know, some business owners have got the family business they can, but a lot of them don't.
So but what if I tell you I have a friend? His name is Freddie. It's imaginary friend.
Yeah. Well, the key there is the fact that as long as someone is critically reviewing what you're thinking about, you want someone to say, yes, it makes sense, or no, it doesn't. Well,
yeah.
You don't, because it comes back to is there is lots and lots of inventions out there that people have thought were great ideas. But have they made money? No. Because fundamentally business comes back to this. You need, the way I look at it this way is, the only way you can be successful at business is, does someone have a pain? Are they willing to solve that pain? Are they willing to pay for that pain to be solved? And can you provide a solution to that pain for a price they're prepared to pay?
Interesting.
Right, so you're thinking about your customers as having basically, people buy to solve a problem. They buy to solve a pain. You know? If they don't have a pain, most people won't buy from you.
I have a question for you.
Yep.
I have a question for you. Ask for Darren, because Darren, he doesn't want to hear ask. I'm going to ask. No, jokes aside, I was analyzing past 3 months of the COVID situation, and what strike me, and I'm still not sure what answer I can find and who can provide me answer. I'll talk about Virgin Australia, right? So this is the best example. Multinational large company, billions of dollars, hundreds of planes, thousands of staffs. 1 month into COVID, they go into into bankruptcy. Or
administration, yeah.
Yeah, so like, just tell me now. They're all smart people there, you know, on a salaries of the seven figures, Darren, you agree? You know, I mean, executive C-level and so on. How the heck it's possible? Company like this, and now this is like a domino effect, you know, it comes to the small businesses, right? Businesses didn't survive the month into the crisis. So where is the money?
Okay, so that's...
Okay, so like, you understand what you're trying to ask? Like, you know, I don't want to talk about my business. I'm talking about about businesses I was looking high, like Virgin, and you have the big name behind this, Richard Branson, which bought Virgin Atlantic and Virgin Australia, collapsed after 1 month of crisis. So where's the money? And you were giving tips to the people how to run the businesses. So where is the money?
Okay, so the easiest way to answer that one is Virgin has been in financial problems for a long time. I think it's only made a profit once in the last 10 years. The people who are running, in my personal opinion, the people who are running Virgin Australia were going for the turnover is vanity metric. If you go back to Virgin back in the early days, very bare bones, very minimal. Then they started to be a mini Qantas. They had all the bloody different levels of seats, all the different travel.
All
the perks in the business club. So basically they became a mini Qantas. So in effect what they did is they increased their cost base, but they didn't really increase their revenue. So it's costing them more to run the business. So COVID didn't kill Virgin. Virgin was struggling beforehand. All COVID did was it just put the nail
okay,
in
the coffin. Take a small and medium business. There's a lot of small and medium businesses in Australia actually suffered blow in the first month.
Well, that's the other one is that very few businesses, it's like individuals. I think the stat in Australia is most Australians have less than $4,000 in the bank to go through a rainy day. And it's the same in businesses. Most businesses don't have the cash.
Okay,
they don't have
this
the
is what I try to ask you. Why? We're talking about 1 month, you know, I mean, like, you know.
It goes back to revenue is vanity, but they keep going for it. Profit is sanity, cash is king. If they have the cash is king metric, they then have the cash. You know, in theory, people should have, okay, let's have. Now, I've got one client that has got 12 months worth of cash runway.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down with him when this whole thing come up and he's going, oh, am I some of my biggest clients going to renew or not? And we sat down and said, listen, you've got clearly cash to go through to the end of June without turning any of your staff out the door and keep going your business. Let's sit down in June when we know what your biggest client is doing for the next year, and then we'll make decisions after that what we do with your business and your staff. But he had cash runway, and I said, and by the way, a lot of your competitors don't have cash runway, so you can go out and market yourself and try and take business off your competitors because you've got a cash runway. I have another client who has got no cash runway and they are struggling running through the whole process. So they're trying to survive each day. Thankfully, they're in a business area that wasn't impacted by COVID to a great degree, but they're in a different kettle of fish. So it depends on the mentality. This business has got a big lot of cash runway. always focus on how much cash is in the bank. That's his metric. How much cash have I got? How much cash have I got? How much cash have I got? He's not necessarily worried about what's his top line revenue.
That's interesting.
Going.
Also, now I understand. So that was the most of businesses actually. What did you say? Vanity, turnover, vanity, and profits. You know, sanity. So most of the businesses actually didn't make enough money prior to COVID to stash it away.
Yeah.
Okay.
And some are hard. Like you've got to be, you know, fair. In the cafe and the hospitality industry, there's really tight margins. It's really hard to make money. And there's probably, to be fair, there's probably too many cafes and restaurants around for the market we've got in Australia. Yeah. So we're a bit swamped for it. So some of them, and there'll be other businesses that will come out, will never recover out of this. And there's a question of whether they should have been there in the first place. But for a lot of others, if they don't have the cash, like JobKeeper is a classic example, this one. The government said that there was going to be 6.5 million people on JobKeeper, or 6 million people.
Yeah.
We've got 3.5 million. Why? And I wrote about this back in early April. Because JobKeeper is a reimbursement scheme, they didn't get their money till mid-May. But they were supposed to pay for their staff all of April. Half these businesses didn't have the cash to pay the staff. So they just said, well, I can't pay the staff. Bank's not going to lend me any money.
Shut down the business.
I just shut down.
That's the reason why it's only fucks with this one.
And that's why JobKeeper's are only at 3.5 million, because all of these cafes and hospitality places, let's think about this one. If you had 10 casuals working for you in a cafe, you'd have to have a fortnightly pay run of $15,000. So over a month, you've got to pay $30,000. Your cafe is shut. Maybe you're doing a couple of takeaways. Where the hell do you find 30 grand to pay your staff?
That's a lot of coffee, Wayne.
All right.
Yeah, that's a lot of coffees. That's true, it is. Yeah. We'll take a short break before we need to give you the breather. Listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And our guest in the last 10 minutes of this show, he's going to sell something to you, or sell something to me and Darren.
Radio's on and I'm moving round the place. I check my look in the mirror. Wanna change my clothes, my hair, my face, and I ain't getting nowhere. I'm just living in a dump like this. There's something happening somewhere. Baby, I just know you cares. You can't start a fire. You can't start. Just dancing in the dark. You sit around getting older. There's a joke here somewhere and it's on me. I shake this world off my shoulders. And they'll be carving you up, alright. You say you gotta stay hungry. Hey baby, I'm just about starting tonight. I'm dying for some action. I'm sick of sitting around here trying to write this book. I need a little reaction. Come on, baby, give me just one look. You can't start a fire. Sitting around. Just dancing in.
is an urban renewal and property development specialist whose reputation is centred on delivering great places to live and work. They take pride in transforming and delivering harmonious communities. East Village, developed by Pace, is a mixed-use residential and retail precinct combining leading-edge apartments and a unique and vibrant urban marketplace. East Village has won numerous prestigious awards, including the 2015 Australian Development of the Year awarded by the Urban Task Force. Pace, transforming places since 1978. Station sponsor.
It really hurts us when a loved one passes on, but it's nice to know that their memory will be well respected in their final resting place. Castlebrook Memorial Park has looked after the families of loved ones for over 50 years. You can visit them and talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
Around the world.
Around the globe.
Streaming live 24/7.
Alive905.com.au.
Seven minutes to 12 on Alive 90.5. Business Insights with Mario. Nearly the end, Mario.
No, it's like a right, last 7 minutes of the show, but we need to prepare the studio for another show, which is come after us at midday. But Wayne, before we take it off from the studio and we announce that you should be back before the end of September, because in September there will not be money anymore from government, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so we're going to have you another time in the studio soon. But before we go, I tried to learn how to spell your surname and name, and Darren doesn't want to help me. So do you mind... How do you say your name and surname and you know, name of your business and how the listeners can find you?
So it's Wayne Wanders. So it's W-A-N-D-E-R-S, as in walkabout. My business, as I said before, is A Real CFO. So if you want to get a hold of me, the easiest way to get a hold of me is you can go onto my website at www.arealcfo.com.au, or you can find me on LinkedIn under Wayne Wanders.
That's and it. Wayne, you know, Darren and I, we applied to some Chinese torch in a break, so you promised something to our listeners on Line 90.5. Wayne, what our listeners can expect from you before end of the show, if they're interested in running
the
business?
To anyone who wants to come to me, I'll give them a free upfront consultation. With my personal view, I only want to do business with people I like and get on with. So I want to meet people first, because time's too short to waste working with people that I don't get on with. So there's a two-way street there. One is for me to see and meet you to see whether I'm interested and happy to work with you, and the other one is for you to talk to me and see whether I'm a good fit for you. That's the way I work in life. As I said, life's too short to waste it for working for people who don't value me, and that's the easiest way. Sit up front, yeah, you know, happy over the phone. We now got time to get out and go and talk to people. Even if we go share a cup of coffee for an hour or somewhere, I'm happy to do that.
That's interesting.
That's very generous. So Wayne Wanders.
Wanders from the...
We'll wander to you and have a cup of coffee and that one-on-one to see if he can help you and he wants to work with you as well.
Wayne, thank you so much for being our guest on Line 90.5 Businesses in Mario. To our listeners, Darren and I will be back this Friday from midday, 12 p.m. and you can expect that it's going to be another good episode. Awesome episode. Thank you for listening to Line 90.5, the best station on the planet.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Alive 90.5.
In the market to purchase your new home? Sick of attending open homes? Tired of being beaten at auction? It's time to put the buying experts to work for you. Hi, I'm Michael Savartis from Real Property Buyers, and our job is to take the hassle out of purchasing property. Our independent team will do the house hunting for you and make sure you buy the right property at the right price. So no matter whether it's your first home or your forever home, visit Real Property Buyers realproperty.com.au and let us take the stress out of purchasing your new home.
Real Property Buyers are proud sponsors of Alive 90.5.